Ruth Guzon's an interesting one. You know, I'm looking forward to a conversation here with Ruth. You know, she's worked for many years on community issues. She's had Tohu acknowledging her community service over the years. She says she's a Pākehā based in an area of the country with high Māori population and is working with Te Pōra Emery to do sort of treaty training back in the day. But they've developed that from just treaty training workshops to towards equity, improving outcomes for our people. And she has done all sorts of mahi that have a social justice core, Ruth. Now, the Funeral Guides Collective is run out of the Eastern Bay and run workshops to help whānau organise a funeral themselves and reclaim roles in after-death care. Ruth says they want everyone to know they have the choice to keep their loved ones at home after death, care for their body and tūpapaku themselves. She is one of the coordinators for the Funeral Guides Collective. Ruth, tēnā koe. My name's Dale, and I really appreciate you joining us on the program today. Ruth, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Good to be on here. Thank you for the intro.
Thank you. Thank you, Ruth. This resonates with me too, because so often we're driven towards funeral homes. A lot of people don't realise we can do much of this ourselves for our loved ones if that's what they requested, or if the whānau deems that to be a positive way forward. So let's talk about this. And can we start with a lack of understanding, I guess, in the general public, for the general public, of what they can and can't do, Ruth?
Yes, I think it's just built up over the years that the whole issue of having funeral directors, and this is probably over about 8 decades, that communities used to be able to do all of this for themselves. But we've been disempowered, and this is really about going back to our traditional ways of doing things, both Pākehā and Māori. My mother-in-law used to lay out the bodies in England in her community. So it's not that long ago that we had this knowledge, and this is about reclaiming some of that again.
Have you got some workshops to speak of this, so that some whānau members are au fait with the legalities around death and dying and tūpapaku? Or is it a website? Tell us about how this is playing out so more people understand the situation.
Yes, certainly we have a website, www.funeralguides.org, which gives all the information you need to do it yourself. But we felt that as we go back to doing this, people first need to have a guide. And we have funeral guides or pohērana that we are training up in the Eastern Bay here, who are supporting whānau to do the mahi. But what we're finding is that there's three reasons why people are liking this. Originally, it was a cost issue. A lot of funerals can cost up to $10,000, and people just can't afford it. There's a lot of funeral debt, a lot of funeral poverty in our area. So that was a driver for us when we began this mahi. But then we realised that also to embalm tūpapaku is not a good thing for the environment. The formaldehyde are toxic chemicals. It's been banned in Europe now because of the effect and pollution on our soils and our groundwater. So, and also the effect of the health on the embalmers as well. So we looked around for ways to keep the tūpapaku in a good condition during the tangihana without that, and found that really some of the cooling techniques, whether they be ice packs or now we have moimai pads, which is a pad that goes to a little compressor, and you put it underneath the coffin and it keeps the body cool. The same temperature, 1 to 5 degrees, that they have in a morgue. So it's quite easy to look after the tūpapaku yourself. But once we started doing it, we realised there was another particularly good outcome, and that was that now the whānau can care for the tūpapaku, they can care for their loved one themselves. They're not taken away by strangers pumped full of chemicals, you know, stay with the family from death to burial. and for grieving and for that last act that we can do for our loved one. It's a beautiful process.
Tēnā koe. We've seen this working before of one of our old kuros, I recall, didn't want to be embalmed and so was wrapped in a shroud and ice under the knees and, you know, utilised under the neck, etc. And I thought it was neat. We've buried loved ones too, wrapped in a shroud rather than in a casket. There are many things we can do for ourselves. And as you say, there's an intimacy involved where you're not sending your loved one out there. So the burial situation and the or the or the cremation situation, there are some legal aspects here as well. Are you touching on them with whānau also, Ruth?
Yes, well, it depends. The burial and cremation does depend on which town you're in, so you have to go by your own local council rules as far as that goes. Sadly, some of the crematoriums have been are now owned by funeral directors and charge many thousands of dollars. Here in Whakatāne, we're very lucky. We've got one owned by our council, and I think it's only about $600 for cremation. Each council has on their website the rules that they and the forms that they need. So you do need to get that. There is some admin, which is another reason why it's quite good to have guides. So all the information's on the website, but you know you do have to get a certificate of death and for cremation. There's another sign off. At the end, you have to register with the Department of Internal Affairs in order to be able to get the death certificate. You need to be able to wind up bank accounts and stuff. So there's just a little bit of admin, but it's not a lot. I think sometimes funeral directors make it seem very arcane and difficult, but we found out that that's not the case.
Well, the whānau can do without the hefty bills associated with utilising funeral directors. But also, you know, it's the final act of love, isn't it, to care for your loved ones when they pass and until they are interned. So a great opportunity. What's been the uptake or what's the interest like in these perspectives you're sharing?
Really good. It's been growing as we kind of started before COVID. We had a bit of a slowdown there, of course, with COVID. And we're now just waiting for these Moimai pads to come from Holland, which are the cooling pads to go under the coffin. We have one, but we've been granted money for five more. But we're not advertising it big down our way because we haven't got all the equipment yet, but we do have a funeral guide who is working and supporting whānau probably a couple of months at least. In our area now, but there's others I know who are just doing it themselves, so they don't have to go through us. It's information on our website available to anyone, but in the end I think as we reclaim this knowledge for our communities, it's important to have at first a guide to just support whānau at that time. It's a beautiful process. And we're lucky here, we do have two very good funeral directors in our town. I don't want to suggest any other problem here with them. They're very good, but still the cost is where they've got these 24/7 staff. They have very beautiful premises and vehicles, and we're not going to have those things. We just have a storage shed or a room where we keep equipment and just work by and a telephone. That's really all that we need. We don't go for the fancy stuff. People can use their own vehicles or hire one. We can sometimes use the back of our cars if they're big enough to fit things in.
Yeah, sure. So I understand what you're saying.
Really low.
And you don't even need a casket, do you?
No. A lot of people are doing some weaving in Te Tiko. Now, I think at least 20 people have been buried now with a whāriki kind of wrapped around the tupapaku, and then they have a puhiriri or a plinth to put that on and a lovely top, which is they call it a taupaki, I think, taupaki, that goes over the body when it goes into the ground, which is covered with flowers or leaves. So it's beautiful to see what they do. So there's lots of new ways of doing things that are being explored. But I think ours is the only one where we say we'll do everything. We'll do the, if you want us to do the admin, if you want us to support you to prepare the tupapaku or whatever, we can hire the equipment. So it's like all of that stuff. So it's not just one part of it, it's the whole lot that we can do and that our collective. So we're setting up as a collective, Dale. So because it's new mahi and because it's emotional and hard work and because we all have other lives, we become ill, we have kids, so we can't always be available. So we're setting it up as a collective of guides who are working together to share their knowledge as we go on this journey. And I think that a non-profit collective is the way to go for this kind of work.
It's a really interesting kōrero. Thank you for sharing that with us, Ruth. Can we just touch on, over the years, Ruth, you know, I've been very familiar with treaty workshops, but in the last decade, we see them morphing into something just a little different. You've got a new workshop that you've been sharing towards equity, improving outcomes for Māori. How does it differ from the traditional treaty training that most people are familiar with?
Right. Actually, that's a little historic now, Dale, because Te Pūr and I haven't done it for about 5 years. I think it is still on our website. You've clearly been on the website. But we're both so busy with other mahi that we're not doing this, and I don't have time to do it. But we did start getting, about 5 years ago, we thought, no, we're not getting far. We want to change things. So we didn't, in that particular workshop, we didn't teach a lot of history. And all of that, used to teach the whole history. We'd assume people had learnt it or we'd show them to the websites. There's a lot of information out there. So we would just look at much more at issues of colonisation and how that had affected Māori and then within your organisation, because we did this for organisations rather than individuals. Within your organisation, what does this mean for your strategic plan or your other plans going ahead? So that was more, it was a very practical thing rather than learning a whole lot of history and not being quite sure what to do with it at the end.
Well, thank you for the mahi that you've been doing across the years, Ruth, but particularly for the Funeral Guides Collective, available on the web. If you'd like to know more and understand what you can do yourself for your loved one when he or she passes, there's much you can take into your own hands rather than going to funeral directors all the time. Joining us for a kōrero, Ruth Gerzon from the Funeral Guides Collective. Ruth, it's been a pleasure meeting you. Thanks very much for sharing some time with us.
Thank you, Dale. I enjoyed that.
Tēnā koe. Good talking with you. Thanks so much.